2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome on in, everybody. It is Unrivaled on a historic Friday right here on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Wild week. What's capped off one of the wildest weeks in local sports talk radio in the history of this market. My heavens. And look, if you're just picking up on it right now, if you didn't get all the alerts, Rudy Gobert traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves for a host of players and a handful of picks in what has become an insane amount of assets that the Jazz have picked up. I would encourage everybody to not get too married to all the names probably over the next few days. Learning about all these guys, Scott, and we've got Hans and Scotty still with us back in the studio. We're at the warehouse here in Salt Lake City where we're going to be doing the show. We have some Jazz gear to pick up. I don't know if we have Gobert gear over there, Brady, do we? Maybe it might be the time. I don't know if it might be. So, yeah. Obviously, a huge day, and we'll bring in Hans and Scotty. You guys just did a masterful job walking this thing through. I guess the first reaction that we all had was this intense mix of how meaningful that Rudy has been, obviously, for the franchise, and listening to Locke on you guys' show break down so many of the things. Everybody knows what Rudy's kids is, but there's so many things that go unsaid and so many things that are, please don't talk about these things, that the impact that he has, very similar to his game, where it's like there's some intangible stuff in there, but it's become a wild day for the Utah Jazz, and there's
why,
that
why
feeling.
Why is it a wild day, though?
Well, come on.
No, I mean seriously, it's like, look, I know Rudy Gobert is a great player, and you watched him every year. He got better every single year. Who he was and what he was phenomenal.
Right.
But today's NBA is not Rudy Gobert. Where the Jazz want to go, what people want to do today, I think, you know, we've heard this ad nauseum since the season was over. Okay, how do you build the Jazz moving forward? Well, Rudy Gobert has to go.
Right.
So why should anyone be upset or surprised today by this?
You get a little surprise when you trade a Hall of Famer. That doesn't happen every day, Scott. I mean, that's why. Because it's a Hall of Fame player that you just traded, and you got a haul for. And,
you did get a historic haul, too, right?
Yes,
I mean, like,
absolutely.
You're only allowed to give four first-round picks, but they somehow were able to sneak in this year's first-round pick on top of it, too. And so this is the business Scott talking here, who just goes, I know, we know how awful these business transactions can be. And Jazz fans I know a 13-year-old at my address who's not going to be very happy about all this. And, like, it doesn't matter. There's a million people are going to be upset about it. The question is this a rebuild versus a retooling? And right off the bat, I don't know where you guys totally stand on this, but everybody's waiting for some sort of a news of Donovan Mitchell maybe being moved. I know that's a possibility, but do you think that that's something that really is going to be on the table for Danny Ainge? I guess anything is.
I don't expect Donovan Mitchell to be moved. I think when Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted out about the haul and then said expectations are the Jazz will rebuild around Donovan Mitchell, I think he's been told that Donovan Mitchell's safe. And when I look at the haul that they've taken in now for Royce O'Neal and Rudy Gobert with all these picks, and we were talking about this with David, I think that this is all in an effort to bring a guy like DeAndre Ayton or to bring a piece to put next to Donovan Mitchell. I can't imagine Donovan Mitchell's just going to stand by and say, all right, I'll give you 3 years. Yeah, go ahead, use those draft picks and try to draft and develop talent around me. No, I see this as the Utah Jazz stockpiling to try to make a pretty dramatic move to keep Donovan Mitchell happy.
How much of a move can you really make? I mean, if they're all based on Minnesota and it looks like Minnesota is trending towards being a playoff team, and it just seems like these aren't necessarily the most valuable picks you would have. So what can you get? I mean, what is the real value? What do these picks actually mean?
Well, it's a good question, and I think that these are first-round picks, and regardless, and especially unprotected first-round picks and one top five, again, you could look at in the grand, and I know, you know, you hop on Twitter like, well, these are going to be in the 20s. They're not going to be worth anything. They're going to be good players. First-round picks are great assets in terms of making trades work when you're trying to acquire players, when you're trying to finish off a trade. These are little things that you can work into a trade that's going to certainly sweeten the pot and get you over the top when you need to make salaries work and things along those lines. So I know at face value, if you think Minnesota is going to go on a tear and be in the Western Conference Finals for the next 6 or 7 years, the absolute value of these picks may not be high in terms of that. But in terms of your ability to trade and the assets that come because of it, it's actually pretty phenomenal, honestly. And the fact is, you throw in I tweeted out some of the college stats on Kessler, and I immediately got blowback. Well, he's still not Rudy Gobert. I know that.
Of course.
Calm down, everybody. But that's still another first round pick of a guy that went 22nd overall. So you throw him in the mix, and there's your five first round picks.
And then we also know in the NBA, and Scott, you know this from your time in the NFL, things change year to year. You know, Karl-Anthony Towns, if he gets unhappy with something, you've got Anthony Edwards. I think that he is kind of an unpredictable character that could lean one way or the other or could feel one way or the other. Maybe the mix just doesn't work with Rudy Gobert and Karl-Anthony Towns in the front court. You know, I know perceivedly it looks like the Minnesota Timberwolves are going to be a top 6-7 team in the Western Conference for an extended period of time. But you know as well as all of us, man, like, sometimes personalities don't mix, and maybe that thing falls apart. And those unprotected picks are like gold.
You only need one to hit.
You only
honestly
need one, and it's like liquid gold, man.
Well, and you talk about things changing, and to me, a lot of this feels like Ryan Smith, Danny Ainge, a new regime putting their stamp on things. They had these players, but they weren't Ryan Smith's Ryan Smith's picks. They weren't Danny Ainge's picks. They want to do their whole thing. I mean, the rebranding to me was a massive foreshadowing of the Jazz making significant moves and changing the whole trajectory of the Jazz. I mean, the Jazz rerun. They wound this thing back again. Right? They said, okay, we were really close 2 years ago, so let's rewind it. Let's re-sign everybody and let's have a go at this. And I think they realized that that wasn't enough to be successful. And the only chance the Jazz have right now to really make any moves to get, like you talk about, to stockpile draft picks to get better is they've got to move one of their big-time players. Well, I mean, that's the only option the Jazz had if they're going to be a better team and if they're going to contend.
So with Rudy Gobert going to the Minnesota Timberwolves in exchange for all these names, Malik Beasley, Patrick Beverley, those are two guys that I don't see – like if you see guys in Jazz uniforms,
I just want Patrick Beverley to be here. It's just fun.
But I'm with you on that, Scott.
We love a train wreck. Come on,
listen,
this is fun.
The Jazz have owned a bunch of guys in even recent history that everybody else in the league hates for a reason, you know. And it's like, yeah, but we like them because they're here and they're on your team. And you talk about a defensive minded team. I bet Will Hardy be licking his chops about having a guy like Patrick Beverley.
I think Patrick Beverley would actually enjoy the home team hating him. I think he would be a guy that would relish that.
Listen, they'd be on – Jazz fans would be on board immediately for any of these guys, but you can't imagine that everybody's going to be that. But Jared Vanderbilt's an interesting thought on there. But Walker Kessler, the 22nd pick of this year's draft, like you were saying, Scotty, like the – you know, getting into the numbers and everything, who knows what you're actually going to get? Who knows what you're actually going to be seeing on in a Jazz uniform when things really when everybody gets together for camp? What's this really going to look like? How many more moves are going to be done? It's going to be a wild summer. We've just gotten started is the feeling, obviously, and that's why this is an insane day, starting with the Rudy Gobert stuff. But, I mean, it's going to get even more wild, I'm assuming.
Please please understand when I say this that this is just me speculating at this point. But I would, in terms of Bogdanovich, Clarkson, and Conley, if you have two out of those three, I would be surprised.
Yeah. Oh. No, I mean, I think nobody is safe at this point unless they've just decided, hey, Rudy Gobert is the guy. But we talk about how much people love Jordan Clarkson here, how much people love Bogey here, how much people love Mike Conley. The reason that you love them is because they can be absolutely serviceable for this team and great, and that's why they would make really, really good assets if you're going to make a move like getting another big, because that's what you don't have right now. Just look at the roster. Everybody's putting a question mark next to what that five would be, and if you're looking at Jared Vanderbilt at 6'9 and saying, yeah, he's played some center before, if that's your only option right now, Azubuki, of course, is still working through some injuries and still trying to figure some things out. But who your big is obviously what the question mark is for the Jazz and likely what most of the moves are going to be centered around.
But I also think that's a question that's going to be answered pretty quickly because go back and just look at Will Hardy. You know, look at the school that Will Hardy comes from, one of the best scoring big men in the history of the game in Tim Duncan. And he's seen the bigs. You go back to last year, I know they didn't ask a lot of Robert Williams, but Al Horford comes in and he plays a lot of that big, that five, and he moves out to the three and he knocks down big three after big three. Al Horford took a lot of responsibility for Boston to make the push to the finals. So he wants scoring from his big. That's why DeAndre Ayton makes more sense to me, you know, a move for a scoring big. And that also helps, it makes sense to me why the Jazz would move on from Rudy Gobert. It feels like they hire Will Hardy and they're Danny Ainge and Will Hardy are sitting down talking together. Like, and as you were mentioning, Scott, you know, this is a new regime. They want to put their touch on this. And they're like, well, what do we want our roster to look like? Well, It's not a shot blocking big. It's a scoring big. It's a rotator. It's a guy that can be out to the perimeter. And I expect to see a completely different front court look that has more of a scoring touch than what Rudy Gobert could give you. So, yeah, to your point, Scott, I think we're going to see their touch put on this, and I think that leads to more scoring from the big.
So you have a rotational players that you picked up in the trade, because I'm trying to figure out, okay, we know what we got rid of in Gobert, right? An amazing defender, a great player, all those things, Hall of Famer. You got rid of him, but what did you really get in place for him, and what does that mean for the Jazz moving forward? Is it you have rotational players, but you look at the teams that are successful, they have that superstar, and is Donovan Mitchell, is he that guy? Is he the Luka? Is he the Steph Curry? Is he the Jason Tatum kind of player for the Jazz? I mean, is he ready for that role? Can he fill that role? Does a different look in the Jazz make him allow him to be a more complete player? I mean, I heard you, Hans, talking about Donovan's not really good defensively and doesn't have Rudy Gobert anymore. If you're going to really contend for a title, you need that superstar on your team. And is Donovan Mitchell that guy?
As of right now, no, he's not. And there's nobody that's sane that will say that the Jazz are better today than they were 24 hours ago.
Right.
That certainly is not the case. This is not about next year. But the Jazz, in about 24 hours, have picked up a ton of assets and a ton of financial flexibility when they were one of the most cap-strapped teams with no assets 24 hours ago. So this is Danny Ainge playing chess. This is a long-term thing here. And my thought on Donovan Mitchell, honestly, and again, this is just my opinion. I think the Jazz are saying, look, this isn't, you know, a lot of people say, you know, the Woj tweet about the Jazz are building around Donovan Mitchell. I think it's more like the Jazz are not willing to give up on Donovan Mitchell yet. And saying, look, we understand you might be a little salty with where you're at or the community or wherever you've got your sights set on bigger things. We're going to give this another year, and we're going to take Rudy out of the mix. We're going to give you complete control of that locker room. And the board has now been set. The Jazz have now set the scene on what they're asking for their superstars, for their all-stars. And so Danny Ainge has said, look, I like four firsts. I like some players, and I like some financial flexibility for my All-Stars. And so Danny Ainge just told the rest of the NBA what the asking price is. I think they're going to roll with Donovan Mitchell, and if it continues to get sideways on him, then they'll be ready. We might be doing another show like this a year from now.
Yeah. Well, it's been fascinating to listen to you guys roll this thing out all day. A phenomenal job listening to you guys all day, being able to break this stuff down. Boss, are we working on Monday, or what's the
Well, I'll tell you what. If another shoe drops, we might. So yeah.
Listen, I'll stay at the, I'll sleep at the warehouse. There's enough mattresses here. I can figure it out. We'll just keep the gear here, and we can figure this thing out.
Let's go. Awesome job
today.
Hey,
you guys
thanks,
burned
guys.
All the calories, so fantastic job. We'll talk to you again on the flip side here. We're going to have Anderson coming up in just a little while. Of course, our Jazz insider for KSLSports.com. Also, you hear him, of course, on Jake and Ben, and he was on Hanson Scotty right when all this stuff broke, and now he's had a little bit of time to digest all this, Scott, so I think we're going to be able to kind of see a little bit more of a picture. Stuff is it's a lot out of focus right now.
Right.
But we'll try to rack focus a little bit on this and see where we're at with this Jazz team, who now have officially traded Rudy Gobert. And you're going to be getting in exchange a handful of players from Minnesota and four first-round picks. And then on top of it, this last year's the 22nd pick, Walker Kessler also. So you've got a ton of stuff in the works and a lot that's still in movement, but we're going to try to make sure that we can get all those, the ins and outs of all this. Ben Anderson's going to join us next.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Scott, you comfortable over on that couch, buddy?
You know who I'll bet is just having a good time right now?
Who?
Danny Ainge. you know why?
David Fizdale shows up and he goes, what do we got? And they go, why don't you put the seatbelt on? Your new chair has a seatbelt built into it in the office? Because this is going to get wild
It's a five-point harness. You're going to get in your NASCAR. Isn't just across your waist. Seriously, but what's cool about that for Danny Ainge? Danny Ainge has done this before. He goes, I know how to do this. Because in my mind, I'm like, he knows what he's looking for. He knows the type of player he's looking for. He probably knows the guys in the NBA that he'd like to get, you know, those role players. Because with all of this, it's like you have draft picks, right?
Sure.
And I think part of it is, you figure it out, but I think you also get lucky. You know, as Han said, like, you just have to have one of those picks work, you know?
And then you're a genius.
Right. And so
– and you've got enough of those first-round picks coming your way from Minnesota that even if you don't use those as collateral right now for some trades, or certainly none of us feel like that everything's done, you know, when it comes to what's happening move-wise.
Right,
but the Jazz today, of course, if you're just joining us, this is the news of the week. Even though the Pac-12 Big Ten news is still probably a bigger story overall for us here locally. This is the big news. Rudy Gobert traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves for four first-round draft picks, a host of players from the Minnesota Timberwolves, including their first-round draft pick from this year, Walker Kessler, that 22nd pick overall out of Auburn. Tons coming the Jazz way. Whether or not it's a rebuild or retool, we're still set to see. I think a lot of us are still excited about the prospect of the Jazz still staying absolutely good. But how does that work when you trade away a future Hall of Famer in one day? Ben Anderson, Jake and Ben, and also KSLSports.com, our Jazz Insider. Quite an afternoon for you, Jake. Ben, when you and Jake were talking about stuff this morning, I know you guys were going, something's going on here. And then, of course, it happens a couple hours after you guys get off the air. But massive move, certainly not something that we thought was out of the realm of possibility, though.
No, we had kicked around the idea, really, since the trade deadline, that Gobert could be on the move. But some of the packages that were talked about with Atlanta, maybe Toronto, never really seemed to quite check all the boxes that the Jazz would want. It brought back some talented players, but it never quite, knocked it out of the park, which felt like is what the Jazz would want if they were going to move on from the guy who I think is the third best player in team history. And now you look at him, and, this is the type of move you're looking for. I mean, just an unheard of amount of draft picks, young talent, some veterans that, if you can get them to click in, can probably help you win. And worst case scenario, you redirect those guys and get more draft assets. And then that's certainly possible for the Jazz to do. So it's a huge, huge haul. But this is probably the biggest trade in Jazz history. If I go back, I mean, you can look at Magic Johnson or Dominique Wilkins. As far as actual realized assets, there's basically nothing bigger the Jazz have done.
So what do all the draft picks mean? Like what is the actual true value of having all these draft choices?
Well, that's what's funny is there's no such thing as true value with draft assets because, Jeremy Grant a week ago before the draft gets a single first round draft pick in 2025 from the Minnesota Timberwolves. Well, Jeremy Grant's a top 50 player in the NBA and gets one draft pick and several years down the line from Milwaukee, who's going to be a contender on that year. So that's probably the 25th or 30th pick. Well, the Jazz got the same value for Royce O'Neal, who's a top 250 player. It's closer to being realized, so you have a little bit more idea of what it is. So that's what's so weird about draft picks is they can vary pretty wildly. But really the hitch there is when you can say unprotected. I mean, guys, look at the Nets 2 weeks ago versus what they are today. Teams change so fast now in the NBA because players aren't signing super long contracts. They demand trades and can get out quickly. Teams enter rebuilds almost immediately in the summer, even when they're coming off success. Having unprotected picks in the future in today's NBA is really wild, much less having basically four of them. And really kind of five if you look at the pick swap, because if Minnesota ends up with the top three pick and the Jazz say, okay, well, we're going to swap in 2026, great, you get that one too.
Right. So, I mean, there's a lot of possibility there, and I think that's why everybody, when they saw Rudy Gobert as an asset that the Jazz were maybe shopping around or looking for, you kind of go, yeah, but he has so much money attached to him, it's so hard to figure out who's going to be. I mean, like, as in terms of the value there, did the Jazz end up coming out on top then after everything? Because certainly, as you pointed out on Twitter probably an hour ago, it's like, look, the Jazz are not better today, but the savings account certainly has been stacked up.
Yeah, they're certainly more flexible than they were. And I think it's fair every Jazz fan could look at Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert and say those two would probably run their course together. In fact, I think Quinn Snyder probably saw that they had run their course together and it was part of the reason why he resigned from the team and recognized big changes had to be coming. And when you do that, and then both of those guys are owed more than 50% of the salary combined, for the foreseeable future, you can't really get all that much better, especially when you don't have draft assets to trade. So the Jazz had to take a step back if they wanted to take a step forward. And they took a big step back, but they gave themselves a pretty unique opportunity to take a massive step forward, certainly bigger than I would have expected they could have done with a Rudy Gobert trade.
So speaking of first-round draft choices, they get this Minnesota's first-rounder from this year, Walker Kessler. What do you know about him? What kind of impact does he have for the Jazz?
Yeah, he's certainly intriguing. Now, Jazz fans will see him at Summer League, and he might be a little bit of a stiff in some way. He does not move particularly well on the perimeter. So these kind of switchy fives in the NBA that people are looking for, that's not really who he is. He is, however, an elite rim protector. He averaged 4.5 blocks a game at Auburn as just a sophomore. He won the Naismith Defensive Player of the Year. He was all SEC last year. Like, he's a very productive big man for a sophomore. And coming out of high school, he was a highly recruited kid. That's why he went to North Carolina. Didn't really get the playing time he was looking for there. So he transferred to Auburn and started to look like, the reason he was such a highly touted prospect and had an offer to go to a blue blood like North Carolina. So there's some potential there. Certainly makes Summer League more fun. But, he's not the top asset the Jazz are getting back. This is not a lottery pick that's going to come in and change the franchise right away. I wouldn't expect. But, you know, he's pretty interesting. He shot the ball really well in high school and then shot really poorly from three in college. Does that come back to him? Does he develop that? Or was he just bigger than everyone and could shoot over everyone in high school? And that's all that was.
Ben Anderson joining us here on Unrivaled as we break down this Rudy Gobert trade to Minnesota. The amount of people coming in, that's one thing. There's also the picks that are there. And then there's all of the interest that we're seeing also out of Phoenix, some of the energy that's coming out of there from our sister station down there, Arizona Sports. Could DeAndre Ayton be a member of this Utah Jazz team? Does that work?
They could potentially make that trade if they wanted to. I mean, the funny thing now is the Jazz can make whatever trade they want. I mean, that's the type of assets they have. They're that rich in assets mm-hmm. that they could go out and get any type of player in the NBA they want. They've got young players. They've got expiring contracts. They've got proven veterans in Patrick Beverley and Malik Beasley now. You've got Jordan Clarkson. You've got Bojan Bogdanovic. The Jazz have the ability to make just about any package in the NBA. So, sure, you could put DeAndre Ayton in that conversation. You could put Kevin Durant in that conversation. You could put Damian Lillard in that conversation. Whatever the Jazz want, they have the assets to build a compelling package for those guys. Now, the other team would have to want it, and the Jazz would want to have to give up those pieces, and I don't think they do right away. I would be surprised if the Jazz decided to go after DeAndre Ayton right now. I could be way off. Maybe that's a big part of this and why they got all these assets. But that would surprise me with some of the question marks that exist about DeAndre Ayton right now and just whether or not he wants to play basketball, how serious he is about it. Why does he want out of a winning team in Phoenix? Why does right. Phoenix want him gone after just making the finals 2 years ago? There's a lot of questions there.
So what, with all the moves that have happened, the Royce O'Neal trade, the Gobert trade, what is it the Jazz are doing? Is this like scorch the earth, start all over, or are the Jazz still trying to be a competitive team as they re-engineer and retool the team?
Well, I put out a roster of what the Jazz have right now, kind of a depth chart of what they look like. And they've certainly got holes on their roster. I mean, it's not a well-built team right now. You don't have really any good big players on your roster, basically anyone in the front court, unless you consider Bojan Bogdanovic a power forward. But he doesn't play that way, really. And you've got a ton of shooting guards, and you don't really have a small forward. So they have some real issues on the roster. But, you know, Donovan Mitchell, Mike Conley, Malik Beasley, Bojan Bogdanovic, Jordan Clarkson, Jared Vanderbilt's a good player. If they wanted to make the playoffs next year, the Jazz could make a push to make the playoffs. Patrick Beverley's teams almost always make the playoffs. He's kind of that Robert Horry type. Wherever he is, he sets the tone. His teams play hard, and they go out and make it. So if the Jazz want to be in that, you know, conversation for the eighth seed in the West, I think they can make that argument. I think they could fight for a play-in spot, certainly at the very worst. Do they want that? Or do they want to fall back into the lottery, get some more draft picks? Is Donovan Mitchell on board with kind of, you know, melting away a year in the middle of his career for the Jazz to get a lottery pick and try and get better, or worse, outright tank and try and get better? I would be surprised if he was willing to see the team bottom out. So they're doing a little bit of a soft retooling, a soft rebuild. I mean, not soft, they traded Gobert, but kind right. of a soft rebuild. You don't totally break it down. You still have Donovan Mitchell, who's a cornerstone and a franchise piece. You build a team around him specifically, and then you still have a ton of flexibility in the future.
Well, on the flip side, Ben, too, as Rudy Gobert goes to the Timberwolves, that combination of players there, that front court seems quite insane with Kat and Gobert there. I think everybody just wants to know if that would work out or if that would be something that can work. So where did Rudy Gobert going to Minnesota put them immediately in the West?
I think they're a top four team in the West. I think they're certainly in that conversation. Golden State still has to, you know, own the crown. Memphis is going to be really good again next year. Let's see what happens with Phoenix. If they lose DeAndre Ayton for nothing, they could take a major step backwards. So I think they've got some question marks. Luka Doncic might be the best player in the West next season. So that's they're in the conversation. But Anthony Edwards, I think, is a star in the making. I think he's a bigger Donovan Mitchell. I think that's who he's going to be. And so I wouldn't be surprised if he has a huge breakout next season. Karl-Anthony Towns is an all-NBA big man as well. I guess he's not a center anymore. But Rudy Gobert is the best defensive player in the world. And then they've got some pretty good pieces like Jaden McDaniels around him. So they have really intriguing talent and a high level of talent. And they're being coached pretty well, finally, it seems like. So they're a very solid playoff team. I really am curious how Gobert and Karl-Anthony Towns are going to fit together. Not a lot of teams are going that big, but not many teams can match up with two really good seven-footers either. So they need a lot of shooting to put around Gobert, but Karl-Anthony Towns is a 40% guy. Edwards can certainly step out and shoot it a little bit when he calms down and edits out some of the bad shots. So they're intriguing. They're good. They're going to be a matchup nightmare for a lot of teams. But then it again comes down to how well can Gobert play in the playoffs. He wasn't great for the Jazz in the postseason each of the last couple of the years, which is why I think Danny Ainge was okay moving on from him.
Yeah, and you didn't even mention the Clippers. You didn't mention Denver.
New Orleans. Right.
New Orleans.
It's tough. It's like, I think that's why you mentioned Ben, too.
Portland might be good next year. You know, Portland's going out and adding pieces and trying to get better. Yeah. So, the West is hard. The West is tough. Yeah. So, you know, hey, there's a guy named LeBron out there who's still playing, too.
Who?
So, I mean, the West is loaded, and that might be where the Jazz saying, hey, our championship window's passed. You want to blow up some of these pieces, stay good, but blow up some of the pieces and move on. They could still be in that spot. So I'm very curious about what the West looks like. And then, you know, what the Jazz do over the next couple of weeks, whether they want to continue to try and fight in that middle spot or if they're okay dropping back.
Hey, sports fans, if you want a life hack, follow Ben Anderson on Twitter, would you? Follow KSL Sports on Twitter and download the KSL Sports app. Get all the updates from Ben and crew, and just a phenomenal job today, Ben. And we're looking forward to see whatever other breaking news happens over this weekend here. We might all be working on July 4th. Who knows? But thanks for being on the program.
It sounds like it. Okay, guys. See ya.
All right, there you go. There's
thanks,
Ben.
Ben's
done he's done some yeoman's effort today by Ben and
everybody
else.
Well, when you're
the
insider, right, this is your day. I mean,
this is what you do.
I mean, this is Christmas for Ben.
I mean, we're over here. What's wild is the biggest story in college football in the last decade or two dropped yesterday, maybe ever dropped yesterday. And we're like, back burner it today for a minute, you guys, because this Jazz news and Rudy Gobert getting traded. I was here listening to Locke on Hanson Scotty talk about this. His jersey's going to be retired, right? Yeah. That's how good Rudy Gobert certainly was. And I'm bummed for the guy who probably wanted to be here. You know, there's one thing where you're like Patrick Beverley, you go next, right? You're like, take me to another team, whatever. But Rudy Gobert, this has been his community, right? And so,
And I've appreciated his transparency. I've appreciated his work ethic, the way he's improved every single year. He's owned who he is. You know, he's just like, I know who I am, and he's just been a remarkable player.
It's going to be a massive drop off in productivity, certainly on the defensive end of the. But this guy was 15-15 this year, and they're looking at guys like DeAndre Ayton who are 17-10. Great, I mean that's an awesome number. But do you have a guy who is actually like actively seeking out problems? Like you don't know what you're getting with the guy. If the Suns can't figure this cat out, and this is a former number one overall pick, and there are question marks around him, but the Jazz right now don't have a big. I mean, really, one that's like right now is going to be your guy, unless you're talking about Jared Vanderbilt at 6'9". You can maybe throw him in there, unless you're talking about trying to figure out immediately Walker Kessler coming out of college.
You got Azubuika.
Azubuika, I don't even know how healthy that cat is either. All right. We'll take the break here. We'll come back. More to go. Our now weekend What Are the Odds edition of What Are the Odds coming up around the corner. It's going to be all Jazz-centric. Maybe we'll throw in a college football one in there. But stay tuned right here. More to go. The Rudy Gobert trade still super fresh on top of everybody's minds and what's going to happen with this Utah Jazz team. It's what everybody's talking about. So stay tuned right here at 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
What are the odds?
Okay, sir. The bet is to you.
All in, baby! You'll know exactly. More or less. What's going to happen? This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. You're going to want to stay tuned all weekend, probably on Monday. We're going to see how this thing happens. No such thing as a holiday when these kinds of things turn around. Rudy Gobert has been traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves. That's the big move, of course, that everybody was waiting for. Some shoe to drop this week, and then here we are. Rudy Gobert getting traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves today for four first-round picks, five other assets and players that are currently with the Minnesota Timberwolves. So you have nine pieces coming to the Jazz from the Minnesota Timberwolves to the one Rudy Gobert headed to Minnesota to play alongside Karl-Anthony Towns. Interesting stuff. I mean, right off the bat, there's so many things that, you know, that we're wondering if Donovan Mitchell and this Utah Jazz team are going to stay together still, right? That's still – people are wondering if he's going to be headed out the door. There's some rumors there. A lot of people just do the whole, you're getting rid of Rudy, just blow the whole thing up. Just blow it all up. But I think that there is a there's a feeling in that building that Donovan Mitchell, they're going to give this guy not even the reins to the team necessarily, but more time to be able to figure things out right here as the Jazz don't want to totally fall into infutility.
It's the only move the Jazz could make. You know, they got to – they got to get rid of some big asset, and they probably waited out and just said, in today's NBA basketball, as great as Rudy Gobert is and where it's trending, that stretch fives and small ball is more of a play in today. And yeah. So, you know, and plus Rudy was the older of these two really key assets that the Jazz have. So Danny Ainge, I think Ryan Smith, they're like, We're not staying pat. We've already run this team back once already. We're not going to do it again. They had no shot or no right. choice other than to make a move.
Hey, welcome to the team, Will Hardy and David Fizdale, as you just walked into one of the most insane transactions that's ever happened in the Jazz.
They probably
history.
Think that stuff just happens every day.
Why? Because
right? they're just like,
well,
oh,
certainly
yeah, just
Fiz
trade
has been
away.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
And he's watched and been in the biggest markets and watched the biggest yeah. transactions, right? And Will Hardy, you kind of go, it's interesting because now that they go, what do you think about this move? What do you think about this? And he looks at it and goes, okay, I can work with this. I can do this. So this portion of the show brought to you by University of Utah Health. This entire hour brought to you by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care. The Jazz, RSL, and the Utes, all trust. Visit uviewhealth.org. What are the odds? Scott, let's get to one here quick before we get out to Tom Curl. What are the odds that – What are the odds that the Utah Jazz do make the playoffs next year now without Rudy Gobert, not knowing what all the pieces are going to be? But I heard Locke talking about how Rudy showing up on a team basically just gives you 50 wins, you know, for this Minnesota Timberwolves team, which means that those wins go away from the Jazz in some fashion. So what are the odds the Jazz end up a playoff team next year? Now you got to look into the future a little bit here because we don't know what the roster is totally going to look like.
Well, just look at the West. I mean, we were talking about that with Ben a little bit. The West is so, so deep, and there's so many good teams. And, there, you know, Portland's a team that you don't really talk about, but they've made moves to get better. New Orleans, I think the Jazz might be a competitive team, but have a really, really hard time competing because I just don't think there's enough talent there to compete with everyone else in the West. So I think it's fairly low. I'll give it a Michael Jordan 23% chance. That might even be high.
Mm. You know what? I'm kind of along the same lines there, Scott. I'm going to go with now all you need is a play-in game, right? Which is 10 seed.
Okay.
So I
got to
be 10 seed.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it a.
I don't count that play-in game.
You don't count the play-in game?
It's the real playoffs. Come on. That's like.
No. It's like being, you know, one of those 16 seeds that has to play the other 16 seed to get in the NCAA tournament. You go, no, we went to the NCAA tournament. You go, nah, not really.
What it is an average team say, we want you to try a little harder.
All right. Scott, I'm going to go with a former Jazz man, Royce O'Neal, 23%. There you go. By the way, Royce O'Neal not being a member of this team feels like it was like. 2 months ago.
I hope I didn't feel cold at the beginning of the show saying, like, are we surprised by this? Is this like what everyone.
You feel like a guy who has definitely watched a lot of transactions happen in professional sports as well, where you're just like, don't get attached to anybody. Don't get excited about anybody. Everybody could be an asset at any given time and walk straight out the door.
The statement was, I was here when you got here, and I'll be here when you leave. So,
and it was
they
true.
They know that business is
you know what? Dan Marino told the truth, though.
Yeah, he did. Hey, the thing is, though, like you just mentioned Royce O'Neal. It's like, I really appreciate it. I really like watching Royce. I loved watching Rudy. I appreciated what Rudy Gobert was. I think if anyone wanted to be a member of the Jazz, it was Rudy. I appreciate all the things that Rudy did.
When you and your son bought jerseys, though, at the Jazz game a couple years ago.
Well, we bought Mitchell jerseys because that's our last name. I mean, we have to buy that jersey. It's not even. It's not like, oh, well, no, there's just there's no discussion.
There's only one jersey to buy.
It was either that or Bogdanovich.
Which is actually, that's your, that's.
But the, I want a bogey. I want to say bogey.
Bogey. All right. Bogey. Let's take the break here. What are the odds brought to you by Sound Sleep Medical, do you snore at night? Are you currently using a CPAP machine to treat that sleep apnea? Sound Sleep Medical can improve your life. SoundSleepMedical.com is the website, SoundSleepMedical.com. We are at the warehouse here in Salt Lake City, 1825 South, 300 West. Independence Day means pricing that will absolutely blow your mind. It's boom pricing.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome on into a massive day of sports news right here locally. The Utah Jazz reportedly trading Rudy Gobert to the Minnesota Timberwolves for four first-round picks and a whole host of names that include Malik Beasley, Patrick Beverley, Jared Vanderbilt, Leandro Balmaro. I know, Scott, you've been doing a lot of homework on Balmaro.
No, a former first-round pick.
Hey, why not?
Yeah.
Walker Kessler also involved in that trade, and that's a big one because he was this year's 21st pick overall in the first round for the Minnesota Timberwolves. That essentially works out to be six first-round picks for the Utah Jazz after everything's said and done. Joining us on the program right now, he, of course, you can hear him on the pre-half and post on the Utah Jazz Radio Network, Coach Tim Lacombe on the horn. Massive day for Jazz fans, Coach. Your initial reaction right off the bat, we haven't been able to talk to you since, so your feelings on Rudy headed out of town if it becomes totally official?
Well, obviously, a legacy player, a guy that, you know, I didn't really have – the level of understanding of what he did for a game, watching him casually, you know, like while I was coaching, not being able to really dig into the detail, but the last couple of years being able to watch, you know, the way that he controls the floor defensively, you know, his skill set is so unique. And the thing that I loved about him is he just kept getting better, you know, year after year. There were challenges, but he kind of fought through those. So I think the first thing I want to, you know, shout out is that, you know, Rudy has been everything you'd want, you know, in a, you know, a guy in your community and on your team. And certainly it's a, you know, it's a sad day that way. But I also believe that the Jazz, you know, based on, you know, where things were, they had a really nice house at the end of a cul-de-sac with no easement. And there was not a whole lot of things they could do, you know, to upgrade. And unfortunately, you know, the veteran team they had, it just kind of got old on them pretty quick. And so with draft pick inflexibility and not a whole lot of, you know, of value, I think this is, you know, one of the things they had to look at. But I don't think anybody imagined to get this many first round picks. Like that was mind boggling. I saw the list of players, and I will tell you the list of players. This is a long winded answer. I apologize, but the list of
no,
players.
I love it.
It is a good list. I mean, Malik Beasley is a beast. So, I mean, if you just look at, and I think right now you have to look at things as impartial. I don't think by any stretch of the imagination the Jazz are done.
Right.
I think, you know, they still have all this collateral. You know, they have three first-round picks next year. So they've got all this collateral. I feel like the Nets really need to do something with KD. The Suns really need to do something to get KD, it's those scenarios where things fall through the cracks. So I think over the next 24, 48 hours, this thing continues. You know, I think this is step one in maybe a two or three phase thing. But at face value, you know, blown away by the number of picks. I love Malik Beasley. You know, not sure if, you know, what Patrick Beverley, how long he'll be, maybe be a part of something. But I love his tenacity, and if you want to start getting better defensively and be able to switch things, that dude's the exhibit A of that. I love Vanderbilt as a young player, and then, you know, as a small ball five almost. And then I think Walker Kessler, you know, it's been noted defensive player of the year in college, blocked 4.6 shots in 25 minutes. Jeez. And on the draft the other night, I had a comp, you know, for every player, and my comp for Walker Kessler was Rudy Gobert. As I watched him play, his feet, his timing, his understanding of spacing. So interesting, right? It's just the parallel between those two guys. But all that being said, pretty major day.
So with the remaining roster, with these assets the Jazz have picked up, what happens from here? Because it feels like there's more to go on. Of the remaining players, do you see other guys moving out? And what other moves may the Jazz actually make?
Well, I think what we've heard, being in and around it the last several months, I guess, I think it was a question as to what direction the Jazz would go. Would they, they start to maybe talk about moving Donovan? Would they move Rudy? Obviously, we've seen the Rudy move now. I think what that says is that I think everybody else is in play. And right now it's about being able to put something together. But I'm telling you, the real big piece of this is just how flexible the Jazz got. The other night they had to sit on their hands, right, at the draft. Yeah. They weren't able to move around. And when teams move around, you see a lot of that capital is first-round picks, second-round picks. The Jazz used a ton of that, in acquiring this roster they have now. So, they had to kind of sit on their hands for that last draft, and I don't think anybody in the room really liked it. And I think everybody understood we've got to figure out a way to get a little bit more flexible to be able to make some moves. So with that being said, they've got collateral now. And I'm telling you, Danny is just absolutely amazing. Ryan Smith said it, but he should be on the Mount Rushmore of NBA executives for all time, because the other part that's crazy is this works out in theory on paper. It's awesome for Minnesota right away. But it just, it changes the direction and the destination. But I'm telling you, it just makes the Jazz, they're able to kind of be right in the middle of the game again. And I think that's what's really exciting.
Speaking of Danny Ainge, I mentioned it earlier. He's got to just be like giddy right now with all of the options he has. And for me, as a fan of the Jazz, you're like, okay, they got all these draft picks and they got these players, and you're like, what if they just pick the wrong guys? Or what if they trade for the wrong guys? Or what if they blow these draft picks? They do stupid things, because you see organizations do dumb things all the time. But then you go, wait a minute. This guy, he knows basketball. He knows how to do this. He's done it before. And he knows what's out there as far as what kind of talent is out in the league.
I don't think stuff scares him either, scale you can blow things up to, yeah, or deals being too big, coach. Like, I don't think Danny's scared by any of that stuff, and I bet this whole front office is learning a thing or two from, one of the masters at work here.
Well, we're only a couple weeks removed from a team that Danny put together. And when I say I shouldn't say team, an organization, that Danny put together, right, minus a couple of touches. And I said it when he came to the market, when he came to the Jazz originally. The dude won, he's been to the mountaintop as a player. It's so damn hard to win a championship.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it don't matter if it's the Region 6 championship or the state championship or the, then you start talking about the NBA championship, and that dude's done it as a player and as an exec.
Region 6 is kind of, it's kind of soft, but yeah, other than that, I get you.
That actually might be tougher to, yeah, that might be more stacked.
I know. I don't even know what region, that was Region 6 was the old region back in the day. I don't remember. I don't know what region.
Whatever that 6A stuff. Right. Whatever the 6A, that killer one that you had to deal with down there in Lone Peak that everybody knows is still there. Coaches, as you see all this stuff kind of unfolding, and you see a weekend like this unfolding and all these trades happening, I think immediately it's hard, because we want to see success immediately as a fandom, right? People want to see the Jazz, who've been successful, like the whole stretch of their of this franchise has been a playoff team, save just a handful of years. But there is also this part that you go, you know what, they get immediately not better, right, with Rudy Gobert walking away. And so I think the question of rebuild or retool versus being able to be successful right off the bat, what should a Jazz fan expect, even if they keep Donovan Mitchell and maybe they move a few other pieces around? Is this a playoff team next year, or do we wait a couple more years for things to really kind of roll out?
Well, I think we need to wait a couple of days in order to say, but I will tell you, basically, if you look at it at face value right now, and obviously they've got, a big hole to fill in the middle, but in effect, right now, if you take Royce O'Neal out of the starting lineup and you throw Malik Beasley in, I would call that a major upgrade. And I liked Royce. I liked Royce's story. I felt like Royce became less of what made Royce good over the last couple of years. You know, he was indecisive a little bit offensively, and then defensively, I felt like, you know, what made him great was the effort, and I just felt like he kind of started to lose a little bit of that. And so Beasley's going to bring a little bit more pop and punch on the offensive side. But like I say, I still believe, like, there's some things still yet to be put together. I don't doubt that with Mitchell, you know, Beasley, a couple of these pieces, the West is going to be really, really hard. But I think they can get into a scenario where they're in the playoffs. You know, I think, you know, simply, I'll throw this out there, and I don't know, but like I said, Phoenix and Brooklyn are so hell-bent on making a deal, right? And both those guys, you know, both sides really want to do it. So, you know, does Ayton kind of become an afterthought here? And, hey, and just for the ease of being able to move him, can the Jazz perhaps pick him up for a sign and trade, you know, and move perhaps a piece or some of that collateral? And now all of a sudden you say, okay, now the Jazz are, you know, Ayton in the middle. So, I mean, that's where this thing could go. I think there's just a lot of things at play. You know, a lot of things that still have to be done. But I think a team like that, they could get in the playoffs for sure.
You have this new coach, Will Hardy. How much input do you think he's had on kind of what's happened here? Has that been part of the strategy? Or is he just a guy wide open and his eyes are wide and he's going, okay, this was kind of a big deal? How much of an input do you think he's had in all this?
No, it's certainly been, you know, there's been a plan in place. And I doubt that, you know, when things kind of got kicked off and this all got decided, you know, I was thinking maybe two pieces and a pick or two, you know, would be probably beneficial. But there's no doubt that there had to have been some discussion. You know, the style of play is really going to be important, how the Jazz want to play. They have been traditionally switch perimeter, either a hard show or a drop coverage, depending on who you're playing out on the perimeter. So really, even down to the detail of fundamentally deciding how you're going to play, that's going to be a big part of personnel. And in order to, you know, feel comfortable, as Will Hardy obviously had to have had a pretty good feeling, at least in a direction the Jazz were going to move.
Tim Lacombe, coach, this has been a wild day out. When you talk about, and again, like we've all been saying too, like we sort of qualify every time we reset with what the moves that have been made already. That there is going to be, you know, additional moves, obviously, that we're kind of like, you know, Danny Ainge ain't done yet. But out are the names.
Well, he just got some stuff to play with, right?
Right. Now he's
delivered from Amazon.
Right. I just said his 401k started going up while the rest of ours is going down. But see, the savings account is rich here. Gobert, O'Neal, House, Wancho, Trent Forrest, Eric Paschal gone in just the last 24 hours. If this all goes through, but coming to the Jazz are first four round picks from the Timberwolves, Malik Beasley, Pat Beverly, Jared Vanderbilt, Leandro Balmaro, and Walker Kessler. So nine assets coming back after a day of you seeing six walk out the door for the Jazz. And certainly it's been a wild one, but as you watch this thing all unfold and you've seen the Jazz make moves over the years, and we've talked about how historic this type of a move with Gobert moving is, what do you think overall his history is going to be with this Jazz team? Do the Raptors have a 27 up there at some point in the next decade, or what's his history with the team going to be like when all is said and done?
Well, I'll say this. I had one interaction, personal reaction with Rudy. You know, I came on right about the time COVID came on, so didn't get a lot of time like in the past where you'd be able to go perhaps into some sessions. Everything was kind of done virtually, but had an opportunity to visit with him. I will say that the interaction was about as authentic and real and cool, you know, just a terrific person. So I think you couple the way that he's, you know, conducted himself and the difference he's made here in the community,
and the story that is Rudy Gobert. I mean, I think he's kind of a Utah story, you know, almost like one of these seed startup tech companies that nobody believed in. And at the end of the day, we saw what he's worth today. You know, if he's worth that much, you know, that's quite a legacy, being taken 27th. A lot of teams passed on him. But like I said, it's his attitude. He's really is a classy individual, one that I believe that his jersey will hang from the rafters, because I think that's the type of guy Ryan Smith is too. You know, you definitely acknowledge when somebody helps you push something forward, and Rudy Gobert certainly did that.
Right.
So I'm curious about all these draft choices, and definitely Rudy Gobert is a guy. I mean, he's maximized his opportunity, and he became a very unique and well-respected player in the NBA. No question about it. But these draft picks, I keep going over all these assets. You talk about Danny Ainge. What would you do, Tim? Are there players out there that Jazz could complement their roster with right now with some of these draft picks? Would you hold on to the picks and kind of see maybe you build some players through the draft, or how would you handle having these assets?
Well, I think it's almost like playing a nice game of poker, and right now you've got a dang good hand, you know, and I think the key when you have a really good hand is patience. And I don't know if there's anybody that has shown their ability to allow that patience to mature into really good things more than Danny has. So I think it's awesome that the Jazz got really flexible today, but it's now, you know, what you're right, Scott, what do you do with these moves? And I think you look for opportunities like today where there's desperate teams that got to do stuff and they need somebody else. They need a trade partner to show some things around. That's where Danny is so great at understanding how this all works. But I think really the word is patience. And I think that from an organizational standpoint, from a fan, you know, standpoint, I think it might do this team some good in a way to kind of have the contender tag taken off for a minute while they retool. I really do believe at the end of the day, and the truth of the matter is, if you ain't first, you're last, right? Like, nobody, we're excited the Celtics got to the finals, but bottom line is they lost, and everybody's going to talk about the Warriors winning it. So you're either first or you're 30th. So the Jazz are trying to figure out a way to be first. And this is, like I said, it's like draft was little process number one. You know, that came and went, nothing happened. You know, yesterday we see this little inkling, and that's when I saw Royce move yesterday. And they got a first-round draft pick back. I said something like, there's some good things going down right now. Because that was a pretty nice, like that was probably Brooklyn right there starting to figure out how they got to move things around. But the Jazz take advantage of it. They get a first round pick, which ends up, now they've got a first round pick, and they also get a starter back in that spot in Malik Beasley. So again, patience. I think patience is the key word.
Tim Lacombe, you can hear him, of course, on these airwaves quite often because we dip into the knowledge well that is Coach Tim Lacombe. Pre, half, and post on the Utah Jazz Radio Network, usually with Jake Scott. And we've just appreciated it, Coach, because on a day like today, being able to kind of venture through all of this together. It's wild, and we're excited for it. I'm here for all of it. I want all of it. And yet, at the same time, quite an interesting day. So thanks for being on with us in such short notice as well.
Yeah, you bet. You guys have a great weekend, and my prayer is everything kind of happens sooner so it doesn't spell up your fourth.
Oh, but, listen, you know.
Hey, I'm happy to work on the fourth.
Nonetheless, you're not really working, right? You're
just playing. It's exactly right. We're hanging out talking about sports, bro. I mean, no, sorry. This is hard work, Tim.
We've all worked before, and what this is, this is just shooting the ball, baby.
That ain't it, baby.
All right.
Thank you, Coach. Thanks. Appreciate it. We're taking the break here. Man, wild day. Rudy Gobert out the door to the Minnesota Timberwolves for four first-round picks. What's funny to me is watching people just absolutely incensed by the move that the Jazz have made. Like, I can't believe they're not showing Rudy the loyalty, you know. And that is a weird thing, though, too, Scott, because you go, are we talking about loyalty or are we talking about business here? Because the reality is his loyalty doesn't pay the bills. Loyalty doesn't necessarily even bring you a championship, and that's the part that people, I don't know, Do you feel like anybody's ever owed anything in the professional sports business? Like, hey, you showed us loyalty, and now we're going to show it back to you. This is not a this is not you working at the city, you know, water department when you've been in the career for 40 years.
So the challenge is your assets are players, right? And players have a shelf life. I mean, eventually you can't play anymore, and when you can't play anymore, there's no value, and so. A team tries to kind of balance out that, keep you here, get the best value out of a player while they're here, but realizing, you know, that there's a time that you're going to have to move on. Some of the greatest organizations in sports got rid of players.
Right.
I mean, the 49ers back when they were winning, they got rid of players who were still in their prime, and It's just a tough part of the business.
It's 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. On an eventful day at 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone, but also just across the entire state of Utah. When you dive into Twitter, you get, of course, all the opinions of people. Be like, I can't believe what the Jazz just did. Rudy Gobert to the Minnesota Timberwolves. How dare they? He gave his heart and soul to this place. And then there are the ones, too, Scott. My favorite is when the parents will post pictures of their kids with Rudy Gobert jerseys on and be like, what? What's he supposed to do? You tell him to his face, Rudy Gobert just got traded. It's like, I get it. I'm telling you right now, the amount of jerseys that – and my son's got so many – look, we have Russell Wilson jerseys at my house for the Seattle Seahawks, of course, that are now – you can call them useless, whatever. It doesn't matter.
You don't have to
all
call
this stuff
them
happens.
Useless.
It's a pajama shirt. There you go.
No, you have your favorite player. You continue to wear it. It's all good.
I got my
you don't
kid.
Have to stop being a fan of. That
I've gotten
player.
My kid a Kyle Van Noy jersey when he was a Dolphin and a New England Patriot. And now he's neither of those things. I'm not footing the bill for another one, by the way, for the Chargers. Sorry, kid. It just happens. It's part of the deal. But Rudy Gobert going to the Minnesota Timberwolves reportedly for 4 first round draft picks. Unconditional, by the way, like that's happening,
yeah.
And those are going to be unprotected. Whether or not those are going to be. Assets that they're going to use in another trade to turn the corner, don't know. But the people don't think that the Jazz are done yet, including Brian Windhorst, who reports for ESPN on the NBA and is one of these rumor stirrers, right? And here's what he had to say about what the Jazz could be doing now that Rudy Gobert is out the door and what they might be shopping around for or maybe still looking for. Take a listen.
If you are the Phoenix Suns, you're going to call the Jazz, say, can we offer you a whole bunch of stuff to get Donovan Mitchell, and then on the other line, you're going to call the Brooklyn Nets, say, how do you feel about Donovan Mitchell? Now, they're going to have competition for it, and this is if even the Jazz are doing this. But that move yesterday telegraphed to the league that a big breakup was coming. Mm. So now the Jazz, we're going to have to see whether this is a partial breakup or a full breakup. But if you're in Utah, and you have a brand new president, you have a brand new coach, and you just traded your all-star, it doesn't make much sense to do a half-measure full rebuild.
So that's interesting, Scott. Man, that's an interesting point where he says, look, they're making this move, and the move that he's saying that was telegraphed was is they picked up a first-round draft pick for Royce O'Neal yesterday. By the way, that trade feels like it was a million
months
ago. Right?
But,
I mean, everything. But
that trade was also pretty significant. I mean, there was
huge.
A lot of value in
everybody,
what the Jazz got for
everybody
Royce
was
O'Neal.
Blown away that Royce O'Neal was that the Jazz got a first-round draft pick for it.
Yeah.
And then you get the – what you're only allowed to get for – first-round draft picks in exchange for a singular player, and yet the Jazz have gotten the first-rounder yesterday, the 4 from the Minnesota Timberwolves that are unprotected picks in the near future. Now, you can't do those in consecutive years, so it's going to be kind of skipping every other year. But on top of all that, they got this year's first-round draft pick from the Minnesota Timberwolves, Walker Kessler. So they've essentially gotten 6 first-round draft picks
right.
over the last 24 hours. That's a massive amount of a haul there for you. But earlier, before the show started, our sister station, Arizona Sports, one of their producers actually texted me and said, hey, John Gambadoro is going to roll this out in the next little while. And it has to do with the interest that's going that direction from the Jazz and the possibility of picking up their big, DeAndre Ayton. Could that be a possibility? Here's what Gambo had to say about it down in Arizona.
So just a few minutes ago, I reported that the Utah Jazz have interest in discussing a sign-and-trade deal for Suns restricted free agent DeAndre Ayton. This is huge because this is the first team that we know of that we can associate with having interest in DeAndre Ayton. Now, it would have to be a sign-and-trade because the Jazz do not have cap space. They just traded Rudy Gobert. They're interested in a younger, more cost-efficient center. So the Utah Jazz do have interest in exploring a trade for the Suns' DeAndre Ayton.
So there you go. DeAndre Ayton on the list there for the possibility there. I think that if DeAndre Ayton were – if they were able to get a DeAndre Ayton here, keep Donovan Mitchell, you know, maybe you still have a Bogey go out the door or a Mike Conley. But maybe those assets that they just got in exchange for Rudy Gobert, they could throw a couple of those in there and have it be worth it. Then you're talking about – are you talking about a team that immediately is back in the playoff hunt if you add a guy like DeAndre Ayton to this roster?
Well, I'm going to go back to what we our conversation at the beginning of the show. I still think the Jazz, if they're going to win a championship, have to have that elite superstar player. I don't know that they have that player right now. I don't know that Donovan Mitchell can elevate to the level of a Luka Doncic or a Steph Curry or a Jason Tatum. I don't think he's there yet. And whether he'll get there or not, who knows? So I don't know that it, you know, that it matters. I don't think that if the Jazz get a DeAndre Ayton, that actually now makes them a serious contender. I still think they're that one really elite player away from being a serious contender for a title. And maybe these assets are all part of either getting that guy and making, you know, I mean, I know Kevin Durant probably isn't a reality in Utah, but, you know, this is Danny Ainge. I mean, you know, he's brought some big egos to places before, and I realize it's Boston, the Celtics. But if you're going to, you know, if you're going to be a big player, you got to shoot for big opportunities.
Scott, if you've taught me anything, it's like, oh, why not? Just get all those guys in here.
Right.
Hey, try to get LeBron in here. Or that, like, and there's this stuff where we kind of set our sights low a little bit because we go,
sure.
Well, I don't know if he's a Utah guy or if that feels like a – but, like, Danny Ainge is not going to make – I mean, that was the thing that was interesting from Brian Windhorst for me was that when he goes, it doesn't make sense to do a half measure on a full rebuild.
Right.
So the question is, are you doing a rebuild or are you doing a couple of major tamperings that will make it to where, or, you know, tinkerings to make it to where you are still in the hunt in the West. If you do add DeAndre Ayton, where would you even put the Jazz? But are they suddenly a top four or five team in the West?
No, and no. And so if you really thought about it, here's just a scenario to throw out. Let's say the Jazz entertain the possibility of getting rid of Donovan Mitchell. Mm-hmm. And let's say he goes to Brooklyn. I don't see him going to Phoenix, though. They you know. When Windhorst mentioned going to Phoenix, and I'm like, they already have Devin Booker. They already have Chris Paul. I don't see that fitting. But what if the Jazz are going, look at the West. Like, the West right now is an absolute nightmare. Like, it's just so many good teams in the West. So why would we try to compete to be, you know, an 8 seed or a 10 seed or whatever right now? Let's build up assets. Let's just let this West kind of duke it out maybe for a year or two, because it's just ultra super competitive, and then figure out how to get, like, you know, maybe it is a Donovan Mitchell, and now this team just has crazy assets, and they just start building, and they just say we're just going to take a couple of years and just
I'm interested to see
this thing through the draft, because Ben Anderson said teams change quickly. Right, I mean, Phoenix is a great example of that. Memphis is a great example of that. Minnesota is kind of a great example. Atlanta is an example of that, where these teams, they get a lot better quickly, and you can do it in the NBA today. So maybe the Jazz are just saying, you know what, it's okay to totally rebuild here, because we can do it quicker than I think people think.
So here are the names, the actual names in terms of assets that the Jazz got back today from the Minnesota Timberwolves: Malik Beasley. He is a tremendous player. I think that that Coach Lacombe referred to him as a beast.
Well, these are all the players that just gave the Jazz fits. Like, and guarded right. the heck out of the Jazz
Beasley,
and made things really, really difficult.
He's got a little bit of a character question in there, which is a hard thing to imagine, like, that Utah would sign up for a guy who's got, like, a gun charge, you know, that
I think the Miller, like, honor code team, that may have changed just slightly.
You think? No.
Just a little bit.
Well, okay. Patrick Beverley, do you see him in a Jazz uniform next year? Do you think that he's
– I hope so.
You're, like, excited about it.
Heck yeah.
I kind of am, too, because –
Look,
I love
the days of Jay Crowder and Derek Favors, and I love these players.
You need to get better defensively.
Yes.
This is one of the best defending guards in the league.
And the Jazz need that mindset. They need someone to kind of lead out and say, Donovan Mitchell, let me show you how to play defense.
Isn't it funny how quickly we go – Yeah, I like you. I like how tough he is. You know, after a year of being like, can you stand Patrick Beverley? The answer is no way. And to have him come into a place – like, the Jazz have had a lot of people over the years roll into the building who probably never imagined themselves being members of the Utah Jazz. Patrick Beverley would be kind of chief among that top of that list.
You talk about Mount Rushmore.
There's Mount Rushmore of guys who, like, never imagined they'd be in Utah, probably told their friends, I'm never going to play in Utah. Maybe Patrick Beverley is going to end up in some Jazz purple this year. Jared Vanderbilt, a small ball big is what they've kind of referred to him as. Is kind of a 6'9", very, very athletic, can be a big for you if you need to, because right now, as it stands with no Gobert and limited big men in the wings, because here's what's interesting about all this is that I mean, do you really look around and go, okay, who's going to replace Rudy Gobert? You're not going to fill in the shoes of Rudy Gobert, and so you try to kind of cobble something together.
But if you look at the type of players the Jazz are getting, these longer, lengthier, more athletic, guys that can play guard multiple positions, you're just seeing a massive trend in the change of the roster that you're building. It's a departure from what the Jazz have been. I mean, think of where the roster has been the last couple of years, and it's not with these types of players.
What's Hassan Whiteside going to do?
We haven't heard one word about
not a word, son. Right? I mean, this is the kind of he signed for the veteran minimum last year. If you can get him for that cheap this year, is he going to be – if he knew that he was going to be maybe that starting big, or I don't think we imagine that he would be, but, I mean, is Hassan Whiteside going to be on this roster? What exactly are you going to get with the big man situation right now if they don't try to make a move to get a big name in here? I don't know. I mean, that's the part where I think we're all kind of scratching our heads going, what's a lineup really look like? I've seen four or five different versions of what a lineup could be, and they've all been different. So let's take a quick break here. We'll come back. We've got more to go. We've got to get to our college football countdown, which, after the day of the biggest news in the history of college football, maybe in the history of college football, certainly in the last decade or two of college football, we'll break down a couple of things. There's some movement there. We want to make sure and get to a little bit of the college football news that happened today, because I know there are Pac-12 folks who are wondering exactly what's going to happen with that team. So we'll chat a little bit about that, but we are not going to pass any sort of baton when it comes to this Rudy Gobert trade talk today. That's where we're going to kind of just live in that area today and see if there's any development of anything else that the Jazz are going to do today. Stop playing tobacco's game. Control your future. Get free nicotine patches and gum. Visit waytoquit.org. That's waytoquit.org. Taking the break here. More to go. We are at the warehouse, 1825 South, 300 West. Get some Jazz gear while it lasts. While it's still some stuff over there, I'm still trying to figure out if there's some Rudy Gobert gear that you might want to. No, Brady says no way. No, we got to get some 20. You know, there's some Rudy Gobert like bobblehead somewhere in our building that we're going to have to either store away and never give away, or we're just.
How many first rounders can we get for the bobblehead?
We'll take the break here. More to go. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past for anybody that's ever coached with him.
The Utah Utes headed to the Rose Bowl for the first time in program history. Emphatic champions of the Pac-12.
as they hammer the Ducks again. It's the
final countdown. For BYU and all of its fans, it was Big 12 weekend. And after a 12-year wait, it's a big win for the Cougs over their in-state rivals. 10 is not coming.
The final countdown.
All right, welcome back. It is Unrivaled, 97.5 BKSL Sports Zone. Yes, the final countdown, our college football countdown that we are obligated to give you at least a little bit of a number every day as to where we're looking. 57 days to Utah State and UConn, 64 days to BYU in South Florida, Utah and Florida down in Gainesville. Of course, the biggest news in college football has been the Pac-12 Big 10 move from UCLA and USC yesterday. And everybody's wondering, okay, what's the next shoe to drop? And the Pac-12 made their statement today. I saw Andrew Walker, who's their spokesperson, their PR guy. He sent out what their statement was, which was a big pile of nothing. You should be disappointed in this if you're a Pac-12 fan. Here's what it is. The Pac-12 Board of Directors met this morning and has authorized the conference to explore all expansion options. The 10 university presidents and chancellors remain committed to sharing a mission of academic and athletic excellence on behalf of our student-athletes.
I don't think the Pac-12 actually cares about football that much. I don't think they want to be a player. I don't think they've ever wanted to be a player.
Could we loan the Pac-12 Danny Ainge to like make some big moves?
I don't know that it'll matter. I don't think Cal cares that much about football. You look at the fan bases, you look at the interest, the excitement, nobody cares. Very few. There's some schools. Washington has a fan base. Oregon, Utah, USC. I mean, UCLA, even though they're going to the Big Ten, they don't have people don't show up for UCLA.
That's a big head scratcher.
I know they have a great brand and all those things.
Why was it not Oregon and USC, by the way?
Because it's Los Angeles.
Yeah, but the Los Angeles market would already be taken with USC then.
I know, but
you could have. And I'm not saying that Portland's a big one, but what I'm saying is the brand of Oregon.
UCLA has a brand. It's a brand. It's a brand that's gone on a lot longer than Oregon. Oregon's more of a recent phenomenon than
but they
than
care
UCLA.
About football.
Yeah, but I don't think it matters. I think the LA market and having those two schools, I think that's what really mattered to the Big Ten. But with the Pac-12, they go, we don't want to expand. Like it's foolish. When everyone else is expanding, you could read the tea leaves, look at the room. You need to get a bigger footprint. You need to have a larger audience. You need to make yourself more enticing for television revenue. And the Pac-12 wasn't willing to do that. Fan base is terrible. And there's never been this interest, you think, of really trying to play football. Think of during COVID. Like, everything changed for BYU in COVID when they just said, we'll play anyone.
Right.
We'll play anywhere. Pac-12 said, we're going to go bury our head in the sand and we're not going to play. All these other conferences figured out a way to play during COVID. And I just don't think the Pac-12, if you really got down to it, really cares that much about playing football. I don't think it's a high priority. I don't think they really want to be a player on a national stage to really drive top revenue dollars from television to their schools or their programs.
Scott, there's our college football news for today.
There you go.
The Pac-12. They're serious about exploring all expansion options.
Yeah, serious about being average.
When they say they're expansion options, there are schools right now making frantic phone calls. They go, yeah, we're all working together. And then they're making phone calls to the Big Ten, the Big 12, trying to figure some things out.
This is the Conference of Champions? That's a lie.
Ew.
You know why it's a lie? If you want to talk, you know how many college football championships have been in the Pac-12?
How many?
Nine. Do you know how many of them UCLA and USC have been involved in? Eight. Washington had the other.
Had the other one, yeah.
Well, I guess you can't count Utah's because that was before they were in the Pac-12.
Oh, come on. Don't do this. By the way,
USC's had eight of the or seven of the nine.
There you go.
Nationals. So this is a conference. They don't really care about football. Come
all on. Right, we'll take the break here. We'll come back. The Jazz, of course, making some significant moves today, including the biggest move that we've seen in a long time from this franchise, Rudy Gobert, getting traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves. When we come back after the break here Alama Harrington's going to join us.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It is 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. I'm Scott Mitchell. He's Alex Keery. And, wow, what a day, what a week, what a life.
Is that the way you look at it?
Well, it certainly is a significant... it's a significant time in our life, and it is hard, you know.
Boy, Mr. Drama over here.
Well, it's hard because you're a fan and you appreciate, like,
for sure,
the connection, and then there's a loss. I mean, there's a real loss, and when a player gets traded like this, and this is highly unusual. I mean, Rudy Gobert, what's the top 20 player in the NBA?
Yeah,
and to trade
it's a wild deal. It's a wild situation.
That's a big state.
Yeah, and you know, David Locke just tweeted out a picture, and he was talking about how amazing Rudy's been here in Utah, and the community stuff is not unnoticed, obviously. Too Rudy's kids is like one. It's not. Sometimes you have these charities, I think, that a lot of folks put together, and you go, oh, yeah, I don't know how into this you are, but Rudy's kids, he was freaking involved, and he was on it, and he worked with kids, and he loved working with the kids. And you could tell it was a guy it was really important to. And I think that this Salt Lake community certainly will miss Rudy. We're going to kick the show off as we always do with the cut. So let's just jump right in here. We're going to have Alema Harrington join us here. So let's get into the program here, shall we?
There we go. The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The Cup presented by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utah Trust. Visit uofuhealth.org. That's uofuhealth.org. We listened earlier with Hans and Scotty. We chatted with them. We also heard David Locke and his thoughts on this whole thing. And with Rudy Gobert, the possibility of him being traded away. We're getting Alema Harrington on the program here to talk about the possibility that if this trade goes through and it becomes official and there are all these numbers and players associated with it, how big of an impact would this make right off of the bat for this Jazz team trying to picture them without Rudy Gobert?
Well, you know, I think, you know, it's one of those moments where you hear about something like this and you know, you have an appreciation for what Rudy Gobert brings to your team. And then, you know, considering, well, what if we didn't have Rudy, and then what are we getting in return? And, you know, there's so many moving parts. This is kind of like yesterday I jumped on with Jake and Ben, and we were going to talk about Will Hardy, and all of a sudden the Pac-12 news broke.
Right.
And so, you know, there's so many things going on right now. We're going into a holiday weekend with all of this stuff that you know, is part of this chatter. And, you know, for Jazz fan, I think, you know, you're trying to decipher, like, you know, is this, you know, this news, is this what, you know, our future looks like? And it's hard at this point, to be honest with you, because there are so many pieces that are still moving.
Right.
And you're wondering, you know, what it's going to look like when the dust settles. And it's hard to make any type of, you know, judgment on what has happened until, you know, we get to the finished product, whatever that might be. And, you know, so, you know, I'm kind of in that same boat, you know, looking at what could be for the Utah Jazz. And we all, of course, want the Jazz to be successful. And this is where you put your trust in the guys that have been brought in, you know, with, you know, Fisdale now too, along with Danny and Justin Zanuck and that front office to make the right decisions and build the team that is going to win, hopefully immediately, you know, but building championship teams take time. And I think we're at that point, you know, where you wonder if the window for the current roster has closed or if there needs to be some changes. And there's already that's been, you know, put on this franchise with with a new coach, with Quinn Snyder deciding that it was time for him to do something different. And now we have a new era with Will Hardy.
Yeah, speaking of Will Hardy, the Jazz clearly feel that they've got to make some movement with some of their marquee players if they're going to change the roster, if they're going to compete, if they're going to move forward. How much of an input do you think this young coach is having with this front office, or is he just kind of right now with his eyes wide open going, okay, there's a lot of big news potentially happening with the Utah Jazz. How involved do you think he is in all of this process?
I think that he's involved certainly to a large degree in talking with Danny Ainge and with Justin Zanuck and Fisdale now, along with Ryan Smith and Dwayne Wade. I mean, there's a lot of people that have some input here. And at the same time, I really, you look at, and you know this, Scott, having been around the NFL, that, rarely do you have, there's coaches that want to be GMs, but at the same time, that's a very difficult thing to do, right? And you hope in the coach, the front office is looking for a coach that they can, provide those things, and certainly he'll have some input. But at the same time, they want to be able to have some autonomy to make decisions that are right for the franchise. And so it's one of those, and especially being a brand new head coach first time, I'm impressed with all of the research that I've done on Coach Hardy that this is a guy that at 34 years old is ready for this job. But I think to your question, Scott, of how much involvement he has, it's probably not a ton. He's letting these guys do their thing, speaking of the front office, and then he's going to do his thing. And I believe that Hardy is a guy that is prepared with whatever roster he ends up with to be able to make a splash.
There are going to be a lot of changes, of course, with this roster. Already have been in the last 24 hours, and with all the changes that have been made, and with changes that could still likely happen, do you look at this and say, we're looking at a rebuild here versus a retooling? This is a fan base dilemma that is used to going to the playoffs. It's certainly the last 6 years in a row with Quinn Snyder. There have only been a handful of times, I think, in Jazz, recent memory. Certainly there was the streak that Coach Sloan had that taken to the Jazz to the playoffs for 20 seasons. And this is a fan base that's used to going to the playoffs. Is there the possibility of maybe waiting around for a few years to have to get back to that level again? Because the West is really, really stacked right now.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the West and trying to end up in the top 10, versus being in the East. But it is so competitive, and again, we'll see where the dust settles when all of this is done. But I think you're absolutely right as far as what the fan base expectation is, and most fan bases are like that. They have those kinds of at times unrealistic expectations, but for Jazz fans, they're realistic because we've done it for so long. Now, I've been around long enough to have suffered through seasons where we did not make the playoffs and that we were in the lottery, and those are challenging times. And I don't anticipate, with everything that Ryan Smith has done as the new owner, to bring in Dwayne Wade and to bring in Danny Ainge and to bring in now Fisdale and some really notable names in the NBA, that this isn't a group that you bring in so that you'll be okay. This is a group that you bring in so that you will be, you'll be a player in the West. And so, maybe I'm being unrealistic thinking that can be done, that you can keep that window open. But my expectation is with this group that's been assembled, that they are looking for ways to keep what Jazz fans are accustomed to keep that going.
With the roster that's presently made up of the Jazz, there are some guys they didn't offer, and they've traded Royce O'Neal, and looking at that trade, getting a first round draft choice for Royce O'Neal, that's because you really like Royce O'Neal, you like his story, but there was a lot of value the Jazz got for that. Where do you see this roster next year? And of these, the players that are still there, which ones do you think will be around? Which ones do you think maybe not be a part of the team?
Well, I probably better not comment on that outside of this, that, you know, we have to remember we get so attached to our players because they're our players. And, you know, understanding and players know this too, that doesn't make it any easier when you know, a George Niang has to leave or ends up in Philadelphia, or Royce O'Neal is, you know, ends up in with the Nets, because those are guys that you brought in, you nurtured and you developed. Right. And even a Gordon Hayward, if you know, you go back several years. And so it's always hard because we get so attached to these players, but this is a business. And when you're looking, I think it, from the front office standpoint, you know, they're always have to be cognizant of, okay, where's the value right now, and what needs to happen for us to be able to get something in return. Those things are always they're much more a part of those guys and their purview and you know, their perspective than it is for any of us as fans, even though there's plenty of Jazz fans that you know, fancy themselves to be general managers,
right,
and are Twitter GMs. But, you know, that being said, you know, I think you put your trust in your front office and you look at Danny Ainge and his history of development, and same thing with Justin Zanuck and his history of development over the years. And you trust that, whatever happens, they'll be able to put a team on the floor that is going to make Jazz Nation proud.
He's Alema Harrington, of course, covers the Utah Jazz, does the television side of pre-half and post, and we're really really glad to have you on a day where, you know, so many moving pieces are there. And so, Alema, we appreciate it. And very quickly, though, on the college football front, I mean, since we do our Football Fridays all together, What on earth is freaking going on in the landscape of college football? Is this the biggest news in college football that we've had maybe in its history?
Well, it's the biggest news since the Pac-12, you know, brought in the University of Utah. And if you can, and I know you can because you are around, remember back when the rumors were that BYU and Air Force were going to the Big 12.
Right.
And, you know, you had all of this, the landscape was changing. And there was an earthquake that took place, and the landscape changed dramatically. And then it settled down, and I don't think we've seen the end. There's going to be some aftershocks, I believe, that will happen here in the near future that will, once again, really change the landscape of college football. The question for BYU and the University of Utah is, you know, how do you maintain relevance if you're looking at the Big Ten and the SEC and everything that they are assembling, right? And are there going to be these two superpowers and then everybody else? Or is there a way to maintain some relevance so that you're part of this conversation on a yearly basis? But it's crazy. And Scott, you know, this is a former, you know, college player. You know, what we're seeing today is like, was unfathomable back in the 80s, and to think that this kind of craziness would be going on, but it's happening, and it's driven by money, and that shouldn't surprise anybody.
Yeah, and no, you're right. I mean, it's insane what's happened. My prediction, what I really think is going to happen, I think the SEC and the Big Ten, they might get a little bit bigger than where they are, meaning they might get a couple more teams. Maybe they go to 20 teams.
Yeah,
and I think those two conferences actually break off and create their own separate football entity and just and run everything independent of everyone else. And that's probably really good for them, but it's probably really, really bad for the rest of college football.
Yeah.
And I don't think they care.
College football fans. And yeah, I'm with you. I don't think that they really care. And they're you know, looking out for themselves, which you know, I guess we can understand to a degree. But there's been a lot of things, including the NIL, that are having an impact on the college football that we once knew, and it's not the same. It's certainly not amateur, you know, collegiate athletics the way that we knew it. And so, you know, the best case scenario, at least in my opinion, I don't know, no, Scott, you know, what your thoughts are on this. I'm sure you've commented, But I'd love to see BYU and Utah back, you know, together in the same conference if it's in the Big 12. And you know, that something like that at this point is it could happen.
Yeah, it really could. I mean, there's a very, very real chance that it could happen.
Pretty wild stuff. Yeah. I mean, of all the things that are moving around and the pieces that are going to have the biggest question marks next to them in the world of sports that we're dealing with right now, the college football side of things might be the biggest one. So, Lemma Harrington, we appreciate you joining us. And we've got lots still to chat about as things unravel the rest of the summer. And we'll get into football season. And then suddenly it'll be Football Fridays again. So we're looking forward to it, man. Thanks for hanging out with
us. Wait.
There you go.
You guys have a great 4th of July weekend.
You do too, you man. Too, stay safe out there. Don't throw any fingers up, all right? Let's be safe out there. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. Man, quite a bit of news, of course. Good to hear Lemma's take on it. I know he's at a Utah – even he's a Utah Jazz employee, you know. He can't – there's some stuff he can't talk about. I mean, some of these trades are – and they tell him straight up, hey, look, these trades aren't official yet, so
– Until they're official.
Don't go on a radio show with Scott Mitchell and say, yeah, Rudy Gobert, we don't need him. Or, yeah, Rudy Gobert, pff, gone, out the door. But the reports, of course, we'll do it because we're not Jazz employees, but the reports, of course, Rudy Gobert being traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves and for four first-round picks, Malik Beasley, Pat Beverly, Jared Vanderbilt, Leandro Balmaro, and Walker Kessler. Nine pieces of property that the Jazz have gotten as assets in exchange for Rudy Gobert. Biggest move that you've seen out of this Utah Jazz front office, and I don't think we are done yet with that. So we've got more to go here on the program. Stay with us.
Attention. This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. Attention. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Happy Freaky Friday, everybody. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Thanks for being with us.
Bobby Bonilla Day? I guess it is kind of freaky.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
Never you mind. Bobby Bonilla. Getting paid today, bro. Hey, the Jazz, of course, and the news of Rudy Gobert getting traded to the Timberwolves for four first-round draft picks and a host of names that include Malik Beasley, Pat Beverly, Jared Vanderbilt, Leandro Balmaro, and Walker Kessler, who was this year's first-round 22nd overall pick in the NBA draft. Can't be overstated how big this day is. We had, we had a Lemma on, and he was talking about all this, and we put him in a bad spot because we were asking him to comment on something that isn't totally official yet. But at the same time, it's like, hey, man, I'm ready to move on, brother. I'm ready to get going here. Yeah, there are reports, but I'm ready to just put myself in that spot to just say, here we go. The Jazz are going to look totally different going forward. The question is, how different are they going to look? Is Rudy Gobert the only big name that's going to leave? Is Donovan Mitchell going to be on the trading block as well? A couple of things that I've been following throughout this afternoon is there are people that feel like Donovan Mitchell could still totally be part of a package that you could see put together this weekend, and that the Jazz would be indeed set for a full-on rebuild. I don't know how excited I am for that because we're so impatient these days as fans,
Scott. But here's what – a couple things. First of all, I think what the Jazz didn't do during the draft should give you pause for excitement. They didn't do anything, right? And I think the sense is – oh man, the Jazz have to do something in the draft. The Jazz, you know, they can't have the same roster. They've got to figure out a way to trade and do whatever. And, you know, you heard Ryan Smith talk about, you know, yeah, the draft comes along and I get talked into buying a draft choice. Nothing happened. So you talk about having that patience, and Tim Lacombe mentioned about patience, and then you're like, okay, we probably all know something's going to happen, right? Rudy Gobert is probably going to get traded. And all of the teams that you thought he might go to, Atlanta, possibly the Bulls, other places, it didn't happen. And then all of a sudden, you know, it now happens. And so you see methodically, slowly, new coach gets put into place. The Royce O'Neal trade, getting a first-round draft choice for Royce O'Neal, you have to feel like that's a massive win for the Utah Jazz. So you also have someone who's done it before. And that's the thing I keep emphasizing and I keep believing in, and I do, is you have someone who knows how to do this. They're not just like, yeah, let's try this. You know, we don't know. We're just reacting. We're just doing whatever. We really don't know what we're doing. Danny Ainge knows what he's doing.
Right. Here's the thing.
He's not the only one. You know,
there's a lot of smart, really, really astute executives across the league out there. It's good to have Danny Ainge on the Jazz side. But it is also good, too, because when big moves happen like that, I think we all just lean back on the fact that, okay, Danny Ainge has done this before. He's done this before. And everybody kind of – we tell ourselves that and go, at the very least, the long-term success of this Utah Jazz team is at top of the mind for this group of people who are making these decisions.
Well, this is a massive leap of faith. Like, at the beginning of our show – Scotty G is like, you're trading away a Hall of Famer. You're trading away one of the top players in the NBA.
Always hard.
That's a scary thing. That's a scary thing. And then all of a sudden you go, well, look what you got. You got ultimately five draft picks, first round draft picks, unprotected draft picks for Rudy Gobert, plus a bevy and a Beverly of players, right? And that are good, you know, that could.
Did you think of that all day? You're like,
no,
I got something I want to say.
Come on.
I got something I want to say.
Come on, those things just.
They just roll off your tongue?
This just happens.
There you go.
But you start to see the magic, the boldness, the in-depth understanding of things that is Danny Ainge. And I just think we're seeing the tip of the iceberg here. And I think the impact of all of this clearly isn't going to be felt for years to come, but you have to believe, you have to be confident enough to know that something is going to happen, something significant. I said this earlier in our show, and I don't know that this is a bad strategy. I don't know that the Jazz actually try to have a good season. I mean, really, it's like the West is so deep and so competitive. The Jazz, I don't see them work. Who's left? You know, what player could they potentially get now that would actually make the Jazz go, oh, yeah, everything turned around and all the odds are on the Jazz being, you know, is it a LeBron James type of player? I don't see the Jazz doing that right now. And what if you had next year multiple first-round draft choices and one of those happens to be a lottery pick? That's not, and you're hoping to find that, you know, Luka Doncic – kind of player that you probably are only going to get via the draft.
You've been harping on this a lot, and I think that
it's a strategy. I'm not saying I think
that everybody
could be
knows
a strategy.
That, okay, all the teams that are contenders right now, and frankly, a handful of teams that aren't even close to being contenders, they've even got superstars. Right? It's like it almost is like, you know, Kevin Durant and that. Implosion of a Brooklyn Nets team was swept in the first round of the freaking NBA playoffs this year with one of the best players in the world, if not the best player in the world, in Kevin Durant, and a guy Kyrie Irving that, you know, he played only a third of the season
sparingly,
or whatever it was, but I mean, James Harden is on this squad and they couldn't freaking figure it out. Those are three superstars on one roster that couldn't get it done. And the Jazz look at this and go, hey, man, we're going to blow this thing up at least to an extent of – because in my opinion, it is blown up. Not like totally, obviously, but when you take a massive pillar off of this team that has been a huge part of the success, and it scares the crud out of you. And I know a lot of people made a big deal out of it because of where he went. They're like, oh, even inside the division, whatever. The West is just an insanity right now. It's a wild place to be right now if you are in the NBA, because you could name 9 or 10 teams right now that you go, I don't think the Jazz are necessarily at that level. And I don't know if DeAndre Ayton even adds to that, and they could get him to be on this team with Donovan Mitchell, and you think to yourself, oh, now they're going to be a top 5 team in the West.
I think philosophically – the Jazz moving on from Rudy Gobert said that this type of center is not what we want. We don't want a rim protector. We can get a value player to do that. We can get a value player that will still give us, 10, 12 rebounds a game and can block shots, but is a stretch five that can guard multiple positions, that we can be flexible enough in our style and in the makeup of our team that we can defend and we can guard any of these teams. Because you look at Golden State and you look at all these good teams, that's the direction that they're going. And the Jazz just weren't built that way.
There you go.
And so
I don't know what's going to happen.
I think philosophically the Jazz are just changing the makeup and the design of their whole roster.
I got a little shout out to have happen right now on the program. You ready for this?
Sure.
It's Canada Day today.
Oh, happy Canada
but
Day.
But that didn't stop our friend Zach Hicken, one of our former colleagues at KSL5 Television and Sports Beat, native Canadian.
Oh, I see. I didn't know Zach was Canadian.
Yeah, native Canadian, got his American citizenship today on Canada Day, in what I assume is a giant middle finger to the North. Now, he came here as an illegal immigrant from Canada years ago.
Illegal?
No, I don't. To finish high school, and then to go to school. Married a Utah woman and Zach Hicken. Congratulations, buddy. Yeah. From illegal immigrant from Canada.
Yeah, but you don't give the finger to Canada.
No.
I've never met a Canadian.
Do they do that two finger thing? Do they do that little? Do they do the little?
Canadians are nice, Alex.
No, I know.
Why would you give the finger to Canada?
It's America's hat.
Canada's given us Michael J. Fox.
What else?
It's given us
Dan Aykroyd.
Oh yeah, a lot of those comedians.
Right.
You got Mike Myers.
Jim Carrey. Right.
Ryan Reynolds, believe it or not, is actually Canadian.
I believe it. Well, now Zach Hicken is no longer.
Who else?
Zach Hicken no longer a Canadian now. I guess I asked
Pamela
him.
Anderson.
I said to prove it. Right. Sure. That's what we all wanted.
No,
she's Canadian.
Yeah.
I asked Zach to burn his Canadian passport just to prove it that he's really renounced Canada. I don't think he needed to go that far. Apparently, you can be a dual citizen and be fine with it. So there you go. Congratulations. 4th of July weekend, Zach Hicken. You're an American now. There you go, buddy. Taking the break here. Speaking of all that. The Frenchman is the one who is the center of all of our conversations today, Rudy Gobert. And as we keep going here, we got our
John
2 minutes.
Candy, deal. He's Canadian.
Scott's now looking up all just funniest
Eugene
people who are
Levy.
From Canada. Yes,
Eugene Levy.
Also, we'll take the break here. We'll come back. 2 minute drill next right here. We are at the warehouse, 1825 South, 300 West. The Jazz, massive move today, trading Rudy Gobert to the Minnesota Timberwolves. We'll keep it going next. More to go on the 2 minute drill next right here. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We put Alem Harrington in a bad spot, Scott. We forced him to comment on a trade that wasn't official yet, totally. I mean, everybody else is counting as official, but, asking Alema, who's a Utah Jazz employee, to come on and talk about a transaction that hasn't officially happened, according to the team, it was good. We knew he was we told him, we said, hey, we're not going to make you say anything out of school here. But, he's like, yeah, Will Hardy's the coach of the Jazz now, and David Fizdale's the assistant GM, and Royce O'Neal has been traded, and there are other moves going on as well.
And college football changed.
So, you know what? And Alema, to his credit, I mean, listen, nobody wants to see an implosion. I mean, that was the thing I got from Alema. He was like, look, no one wants to see this whole thing blow up and try to figure out the team from zero. But
you also, you get used to the players. You cheer for the players. You know, and especially in his position, I'm sure he has a lot of close interaction with the players, which is a question I wanted to ask you, actually.
Oh, what's the question?
Allegedly, Rudy Gobert is being traded.
I think we've moved past that. You and I have moved past that. It's happening.
What is it that you're going to miss most about Rudy? And what's a memory of Rudy that really stands out to you?
I would say that Rudy Gobert memory It's kind of weird because the ones that we remember are like when he broke down into tears when he didn't make the All-Star game. I think that, and then unfortunately, I think a lot of people too, they think of that brand of him touching the microphones on his way out the door and before testing positive for COVID. But for me, it was like, I think that there was a couple of years ago, I think it was in 20, right after the whole COVID thing happened, coming into 2021, you and I noted a difference in him physically. He worked his tail off to get, because his biggest knock was he's this lanky 7'1" guy who has the wingspan, of a B-52 bomber, and yet you feel like he doesn't have any strength, and he worked his freaking tail off to get stronger. And every time we'd see him come back, we'd go, dude, this guy is stronger. He's getting better. And I just remember him. And I'll, you know, he lived kind of close to where I lived in Salt Lake before we moved. And so I'd see him in his when he was first here for the first few years, I'd see him in his Land Rover driving up 21st South. And there was one time where we parked next to him. Not parked. We were at the light next to each other. And I rolled the window down to the back seat where my son was. And I'm all, wave to Rudy, because I knew that was his car. And it was pretty blacked out, the windows. But Rudy rolled the window down and just did like a little, hey, buddy, you know, to my son. And I was like, you got to wave out of Rudy. So there are little things where I go, this is absolutely a guy that, like, my kid's fandom of the Jazz was built off of this guy.
Rudy Gobert.
That's who they'll remember as, like, oh, remember those Rudy Gobert Utah Jazz teams? So there's that part where I think a day like today is, pretty wild because – but I mean, like, we've worked long enough in sports to go, yeah. I mean, this isn't going to be the last time one of your favorite players gets traded. It certainly wasn't the first, and it's not a betrayal of anybody. The Jazz didn't betray anybody today. Rudy Gobert wasn't betrayed by the Jazz today. That's never a question. This is a business. These guys know exactly what it is. They get paid handsomely for the risk of being put on another team at some point, and that's and being used as an asset in a business transaction.
You know, having a three-time NBA Defensive Player of the Year, remarkable. And you look at the Dallas Mavericks, and they just said, we're not going to let Rudy Gobert beat us. And it was about Gobert, and it was about stopping Gobert. And the fact that they had that much respect for him speaks volumes for the type of player that Rudy was. But the thing that I really appreciate the most about when Rudy was here was you just always saw improvement, you know, year after year. And your comment about getting stronger and being stronger and more physical inside, you could just see that Rudy was always developing, and it meant something to him, and he worked hard, and I just know and can appreciate that from being a former professional athlete, that, you know, just that willingness and that grind to not just be happy to be there, but to improve and excel.
That truncated version of the 2-minute drill brought to you by Jerry Seiner Cadillac. Cadillac owners have changed, but luxury has not. Come see the bold new lineup of Cadillacs at Jerry Seiner Cadillac today.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, welcome back. It's been an insane day, an insane week of sports right here, and we are glad that you have chosen to listen to the folks here on 97.5 VKSL Sports Zone as we've rolled out all of this stuff for you. A tremendous group of folks that we work with from top to bottom. Every show has just been all over this. We all chat with each other about how important the stuff is that we're doing, and we are super excited to be working with the group that we do, because everybody helps each other out, and so it's been a tremendous day and week. The news of Rudy Gobert and his trade to the Minnesota Timberwolves has hit home, of course, and certainly it was on the possibilities list for Jazz fans this week to have to deal with. But there you go, final segment of the show.
See, I just was curious, like, could the Jazz really get something extremely valuable for Rudy Gobert?
You know,
was their value? Or do I think they
massive,
did?
Massive, right?
I think it would have. I would say it would absolutely exceed what I expected.
I think if anybody's being honest, that's exactly what it is. I mean, they've just gotten a ton back for it, and despite all that, it's really hard to walk away from number 27 because he's meant so much to this to this franchise. And you think about what he went through right before COVID hit and during the whole COVID thing, right at the beginning of that, he took some real – took a massive hit. That stuff he'll never live down. But here in Utah, he's revered, and he's going to be probably forever.
And you appreciate someone who's true to themselves. Yeah. You know, he was – you knew who he was. He wore his feelings, his emotions on his shoulder, and, you know, he's a great player.
You know what's freaking weird? I'm going to roll this out real quickly here before we get to a celebration, a celebratory moment on the program. And that is the Phoenix Suns, the Miami Heat, have increased their odds for winning the championship just by being mentioned. Bettors have moved the direction
of the Kevin Durant side of things. Okay,
Phoenix and Miami.
That's the thing that the bookies look for.
That's what they do. They look for stuff like that. Yeah. So their odds have increased, but wildly enough, the team in the last 24 hours whose championship odds have increased the most. You ready for this? Any guesses?
Minnesota.
Nope. Your Los Angeles Lakers.
Really?
They went from because, 20. They went
because
from
of Kyrie.
Because of no moves. Because
no
of,
moves.
Like honestly. Their odds went from 22-1 to 10-1 at Caesars Sportsbook in the last 24 hours because of that. So there you go. I have no idea. I don't understand things sometimes, but there you go. You're going to see bettors. You're going to see odds makers always gravitate toward those big teams with big names on it. All right, Scott, very quickly, we want to just make mention of a holiday that we celebrate every year on this program. We've done it for the past 4 years. So let's make it a fifth. Happy Bobby Bonilla Day, everybody.
Hey, happy Bobby Bonilla Day.
Bobby Bonilla, due his $1.1 million as he is going to receive all the way through 2032.
Yes.
Courtesy of the New York Mets. And so we congratulate Bobby Bonilla.
I read a thing about it this morning.
It's always fun to know, right?
What's interesting is, everyone goes, that's a terrible deal for the Mets, right? That they're still paying this guy. He's not around, the whole thing. And someone actually disagreed with that and said – they actually said it was a better deal for the Mets because if he would have taken the money in a lump sum and he would have invested it, he would have, over the same course of time –
Made the same amount of money.
About $10 million more. Dollars. So it was a good move by the Mets.
Bobby Bonilla gets all mad. All right. Yeah. For Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery, big nod to all of our compatriots at 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Brady and Brandt doing things down here at the warehouse, and then Jeremy hitting the buttons and producing the show, doing a heck of a job. All right, we'll see you next week, everybody. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.